Good morning, Vancouver and Portland. This is Angela. It's on by 10:30, but as promised, I have a very special guest. Well, good morning, Dr. Johnson.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm excellent. And yourself?
I'm doing really good. I know, Rajon, you're involved with Susan G. Coleman with the More Than Pink Walk, you know, that's taking place in September. And your background is being a surgical oncologist. Let me ask you a question. You're also a breast cancer survivor. One of the questions, the first of that I want to ask, is breast cancer, maybe like with some of the other cancers, are they genetic?
So breast cancer can be genetic, but although most people who get breast cancer don't have a family history,
mm-hmm.
but it can run in families, yes.
Oh, wow. And you've been a survivor how many years?
This is my sixth year.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
When you're talking about care, what are the, be it for men or for women, what do they go under once, you know, once they've been kind of like, they've been diagnosed with having breast cancer? What are the steps that the doctors along with the patients and stuff go through to, you know, maybe to get them to be a survivor, you know, like you, like yourself?
So when we first see someone, you know, after they have a new diagnosis, there are different types of breast cancer. So first we try to understand what type of breast cancer they have,
mm-hmm.
because the truth can vary based on that. So some women have something called estrogen-positive breast cancer, in which we can treat it without needing to use chemotherapy. We use estrogen-blocking drugs. On the other hand, some women have a type of cancer called triple-negative breast cancer, which it has to be treated with chemotherapy, or most frequently chemotherapy is needed,
mm-hmm.
to help cure. And then there's something called HER2-new positive breast cancer, which also requires some chemotherapy and some newer immune therapies, and in specific a drug called Herceptin,
mm-hmm.
To is needed to help cure that cancer.
Wow, wow. Now, I know that, you know, people, you know, who have been, well, I know personally, I have an aunt back in Maryland, and she's kind of like battling breast cancer. She's in remission right now. I had another great aunt, and I had a very good friend down in L.A. What kind of focus now is the medical community putting on, you know, whatever regarding breast cancer, how it affects African-American women and even men?
So true. So men can be impacted by breast cancer as well, and I think probably the most well-known was Schaff, or Richard Roundtree, who's a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically in the African-American community, we have a lot more women that have something called the triple-negative breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
Which is requires chemotherapy often. But the other interesting thing about it is it can be more often associated with an inherited risk.
Wow.
So whenever someone has triple negative breast cancer, we usually recommend genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we need to educate more about in the African-American community is exactly that, is getting genetic testing. Because if we know that this gene runs in the family and who has it, we can do a better job of screening them,
mm-hmm.
so that we catch the tumors early. Sometimes we do preventative surgeries,
mm-hmm.
So that the person never gets cancer.
Wow.
Another interesting thing is, as we're learning more about genetics, is that if we used to think just of breast cancer or maybe breast and ovarian cancer, but actually uterine cancer and colon cancer can be associated with breast cancer. So if you have family members that have had colon cancer,
mm-hmm.
or uterine cancer, that's another signal that maybe you should think about being evaluated for genetics and doing genetic testing.
Well, when you're talking about genetic testing, how do you go about it? Besides having probably, you know, whatever, taken us, you know, DNA test of yourself, but do you go through to other family members, or how is that conducted?
So first of all, we bring in the person who's interested, and we actually outline their family history. So tell us as much as you know who had what and what types of cancers. And then it is a blood, or it can be done with saliva test, where we're looking specifically at cancer genes, because you can look at other types of genes for other diseases, but for this, we're usually looking at cancer genes. And we used to only do like one or two, something called BRCA 1 and 2, mm-hmm. but now we know that we should do far more. So many of the newer panels have like 40 genes included in them. So we'll look at all the genes that prostate cancer also is related. So if your father had prostate cancer at a young age, like early 60s, that could also be a clue that you would have a higher risk for breast cancer.
Wow.
So we look at that person and do the genetic testing. And then if we find something, then we figure out which side of the family did it come from. Did it come from the father's side? Did it come from the mother's side?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we figure that out, then we explain how to talk to other family members about it.
Mm-hmm.
If we find a genetic mutation, then those family members can usually get the test done at a very minimal cost, which is another thing I should mention, is that years ago it was about $4,000 to get this genetic testing, but there are companies now that do it for $250 or less.
Wow.
So it's made it accessible and affordable. So if people are interested, they could start by talking to their, the person that does like their primary care or mm-hmm. breast surgery. Or you can also look online. There's a company called Color, C-O-L-O-R, Genetics,
mm-hmm.
that you can put in your information and they mail you a kit. And they also have genetic counselors that you can talk to online.
Wow. How long is the treatment? You know, if a woman is been diagnosed, depending on, you know, what type of diagnosis when it comes to breast cancer, how long is the treatment? And after they go through the treatment, what are the other steps that they could, that they have to take to do, hopefully that it won't be a reoccurrence?
So that's one of that's very important. So there are multiple things that women can do, and treatment varies. So for somebody who has an estrogen positive breast cancer, usually surgery, depending on the type of surgery they choose, there could be radiation or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of them are on estrogen blocking pills for at least 5 years and sometimes 10 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
But those pills are fairly easy to take and don't have a ton of symptoms. So that is probably an easier course. For someone that requires chemotherapy, usually that's done around the time of surgery. Very often, actually, for triple negative and HER2, we do the chemotherapy before we do surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do surgery, and then again, maybe radiation or not, but that's a longer, like, active treatment course where you could be in treatment for 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, recovery after that. So the other piece is that once you're finished the active treatment, there's so many things that you can do to stay well,
mm-hmm.
Or what we call survivorship, and that's where it's important, one, for the women who are supposed to be on estrogen blocking drugs to maintain and keep those going.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D actually plays a big role in breast and colon cancer, and so that's making sure your vitamin D levels are good is really essential.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say good, a lot of studies will say, if your level is 36, that's good. But really the studies that show an improvement in cancer outcomes are ones where people have a level of 50 or higher.
Wow.
And for African Americans, we tend to run very low because we don't absorb the vitamin D as much through our skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not uncommon for African Americans to have levels of like 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to be up at 50. That reduces your risk of getting breast and colon cancer. And if you get it, your outcome is better if you get your levels up. So I really encourage people to do vitamin D repletion.
How can, in doing that, which, you know, in taking those steps, you know, whatever, to get their vitamin D levels up, how do they go about doing it?
So the most natural way to do it is to be out in the sun, and in the Portland area, probably about 15 minutes in the sun every day would keep your vitamin D levels good.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of us, and a lot of the year, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So just taking vitamin D3 repletion is good, and you can get that at most places sell it, like the grocery store, you know, Costco, or you can buy online. If you don't know what your level is, you can have it checked, because sometimes you may need to take as much as 50,000 units a week in order to just get up normal, and then you stay on a maintenance plan. So that's, again, something that you could chat with one of your care providers about if you have access to that.
How can you say, well, what would be the cause? Let's say, you know, you've been a survivor, everything's been in remission for so many years. What would cause it for it to return?
So there are various reasons. Sometimes when we did the initial treatment, we thought that we cleared it all, and we didn't quite. And the cells kind of are quiescent, but eventually grow back up, and then we are aware that we didn't clear them all. So I think that's probably the most common reason, is that we didn't get it all clear from the very beginning, but it varies how long it takes for it to show up again. So the estrogen-positive cancers grow more slowly. So those are the ones that maybe somebody had it 7 years ago, and then all of a sudden they have it again. Whereas the triple-negative and HER2-positive, those tend to grow more quickly. So if we haven't treated it all, usually within 3 to 4 years, we'll find that out.
Wow. Is there a way to, you know, for women and even for men, you know, whatever, what they could do maybe to prevent, let's say, breast cancer, along with, like, other cancers and stuff, you know, whatever that we can come down with, or the ways and stuff to prevent?
Yes. So I think one of the ways to prevent the recurrence is, I just spoke about the vitamin D, but one of the biggest ways is actually exercise. So getting 30 minutes of exercise at least 5 times a week, and exercise, I mean something that gets your heart rate up. So it could be dancing, it could be swimming, it could be taking a walk at a good pace, you know, riding a bike, however you want to get it. But doing that for 30 minutes at least 5 times a week reduces your risk of the cancer coming back as much as chemotherapy does. But that's something that a person has to do. You have to actively exercise. And you can also reduce your risk of getting breast cancer as well by being active, by exercising, and that's huge.
The same kind of regimen maybe that women have to do, do men have to do something different, or is it about the same?
It's about the same. It's about the same. And the other thing about men is, if a man comes down with breast cancer, it's far more likely associated with genetics.
Wow.
Like an inherited risk. So anytime there's been a man in a family that had breast cancer, that's a clue that people should think about genetic testing.
Wow. And how long have you been a surgical oncologist?
I'm giving away my age now.
No.
So I first came here in 1992, so about 27 years.
Wow. What made you decide to choose this particular field?
So I didn't, I think, consciously choose it, but when I was 12 years old, my mother had breast cancer.
Wow.
And back in that day, you went in for a biopsy, and if it was positive when you woke up, your breast was gone.
Yeah.
So that's what I remember as her experience, but I also learned so much from her in that You know, she taught me and taught us that you're not defined by your breast.
Yeah.
That you're a full woman whether you have a breast or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned from my father that he loved her fully.
Mm-hmm.
If that did not ever matter to him.
Wow.
And then I went to medical school and then fell in love with surgery, I gravitated towards oncology, just the study of cancer, how to do a better job, you know, working on cures for cancer has just always been my passion.
Mm-hmm.
And in specific, then I just really gravitated towards women with breast cancer, and probably because of my experience growing up,
mm-hmm.
It's just always been my passion.
Wow, way. What a damn very insightful story. No, you're not telling your age. But then as my grandmother used to always say, you know, say age ain't nothing but a number. And as if you keep busy, no matter what age you are, you know, whatever, we're still youthful, you know, so.
That's exactly right.
You know, so, but I want to, you know, I want to say thank you, you know, whatever, for get, you know, for giving the listening audience, the community, you know, whatever, more of an insight. And I'm kind of glad that now that this, for this particular issue, that there is a big spotlight. You know, it's been missing for a long time, and I want to thank you along with everybody else who's putting a spotlight on this particular medical issue, especially how it, you know, since it can affect highly in the African-American community. Before I let you know, why is it that the African-American women are more possibility of coming down with breast cancer than any other women, you know, in communities? Why do we have a higher risk?
Well, I think one of the things is that being overweight,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, that's something that our community struggles with. I also think the low vitamin D levels play a role in that. And then there's a lot more around genetics, I think, than we're aware of, because we don't go test for those kind of things as frequently,
mm-hmm.
and don't always share. So that's one of the beauties of Komen's initiative around worship and pink,
mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, raising awareness in our community through the faith community,
mm-hmm.
to teach women about screening, but not only screening, about genetics, and about being as active and advocating for yourself in the care of your cancer and
mm-hmm.
your outcomes.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Johnson, for giving us this insight, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me, and I wish you a good rest of your morning.
And I wish you the same, and you enjoy your day.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, that's Dr. Nathalie Johnson. She's an oncologist with Legacy, but she's also a breast cancer survivor. And as always, for the past several years, we've been putting a spotlight on this particular issue and how it affects African-American women. And this year, Susan G. Komen, they're changing up their walk. It's called More Than Pink Walk. And they're really putting a focus on the different aspects of breast cancer. And what we talked about this morning is the kind of care. And again, I want to thank her along with the women and men who work at Susan G. Komen for, you know, continuing to put this emphasis on this particular issue. And coming up, you're going to hear from Jason Hendrickson with the single entitled Because You're Great. So keep it tuned here to 1480 KBMS.